powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Here we go now.
One half of Wyman and Bob, Dave Wyman, joining us in studio right now. Dave, how's it going? Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. How are you guys doing?
Good. Had a great weekend. It was beautiful. Didn't love the Mariners series, but it was still lovely out. We're bringing you on to talk Seahawks, though, if that's okay. Earlier today, we did one of our draft profiles. It was on Brock Bowers. I don't expect him to actually fall to 16 where Seattle can grab him. But how would you feel about adding a position that wouldn't necessarily be one of need at 16?
Well, I think that's what we're going to get. I mean, I said this on Friday. I think, the more we talk to Schneider, the more you realize that I would say prepare to be surprised.
Oh.
You know, I mean, he could take Penix. I mean, honestly, I feel like that could happen. So, I think Brock Bowers is one of those guys. I was talking about him on Friday that when I watched him, he reminded me of Manti Te'o in that when I was watching Manti Te'o play at Notre Dame, I was like, this guy is like a pro. He's playing like a professional. Everybody else around him looks like a college player. That's kind of how I feel about Bowers. I was listening to you guys talking about him coming in, and you know, I think he could be, like you said, Bump, one of those modern tight ends that just finds a way to get open. I think he's a decent blocker, but he just looks like he's playing pro football, you know, on the field. He just is that good. So I think you can't really pass that up, no matter what the position is.
You said prepare to be surprised.
I like that tease.
I'm more of a conservative when it comes to draft picks. I go with just, all right, give me the best player. I'm not going to mix anything up. If you were going the conservative route, who would you pick at 16? If available, obviously things got to happen in front of you. But who's the guy that you say, this is probably the logical pick, not the surprise pick?
Gosh, that's a tough one because, you know, what I would have said right away is Latu. I think he's the best pass rusher in the draft. Mm-hmm. And he's incredibly talented. I described him as being like a ghost. I mean, he's so in motion. But do they really need an outside backer? No, they really don't. I mean, you look at, you're hoping that Derek Hall is going to get better, but you got Boye, you got Uchenna coming back, you got Daryl Taylor. And it kind of reminds me of last year. Well, at that point, you had corners. You had good corners. I mean, Mike Jackson, you had, Tariq Woolen, who just came off a Pro Bowl, Trey Brown, who I really think is a good player, and Colby could play outside. And they didn't really need a corner. And so I chuckled when they took Devin Witherspoon, but that's kind of what John does, you know, and that's an indication. And like I said, the more we talk to him, the more I think he's going to get the best player. So, yeah, I mean, tight end is not a need, but I just don't think that even factors into it with the Seahawks when they draft.
Well, and it worked out with Devin, right? Like, initially they took a corner and we were thinking, but why? I mean, I know Jalen has character concerns and everything, but you so badly need a defensive lineman. And then lo and behold, Devin's not just their best player, but one that if I'm Mike McDonald, I'm so excited about. What's interesting about this class is if you were to pick two positions where in an ideal world there would be an all-pro for you at 16, you'd choose like inside linebacker or guard.
Yeah.
Do you think that taking either spot there would be a reach based on who's in this class?
Yeah. I mean, I've kind of looked at the inside linebackers and there's a couple of really good players, but I'm like, look, if John takes him, if he takes that position, we have no idea what is going on in his brain.
Right.
We really don't. And every time we try to, and I feel like one of the things they do the best is they keep it tight down there. Like Pearson, we always talk about how Pearson's crabby and he, you know, nobody wants to deal with Dave Pearson.
I love you, Dave.
He's one of my better friends. I've known Dave for 35 years, but he does a great job of just keeping everything in-house. And John is the same way. And last year he told us, he goes, yeah, I gave you guys a hint about Devin Witherspoon.
I heard that.
He did?
And I was like, I don't remember that. I don't remember it at all. Like he slipped it in there somehow and in his own little way. But I just think we don't. I'm not going to say that it's useless to sit around and speculate about what he's going to pick, but it's close just because I think he really has his own ideas.
Yeah.
And he's really like a savant when it comes to that. Like, that's the hardest thing to do. I think, you know, I always say, like, in as far as pro sports go, hitting in Major League Baseball, I think, is the most ridiculously hard thing. Mm-hmm. But in the realm of sports, if you want to include that, I think picking guys out of college to make it in the NFL is one of the hardest things to do. You just you see these guys, and it's just a surefire. But when they get, you get all the information, and a lot of it has to do with their personalities, right? I mean, you need to get a guy that just loves football, loves it, and that's a huge part of it. So, but yeah, I think he he's. It's going to be a really interesting year for John, just because he's in charge. Mm-hmm. He's the guy. Anything that get you know, and the pick, as far as the picks go, you know, it's going to come from him. So yeah, I think it's really difficult to do, and but we're going to sit around and speculate, and you know, probably going up till the day of the draft, we'll all make our predictions. But it's kind of gone back and forth for me as far as like who I think it was, but who I think they're going to pick. But yeah, I like Latu a lot, man. And again, do they need a pass rusher, an edge guy? No, they much more need an interior, you know, linebacker, or you know, interior offensive line, or. Yeah, I mean, you don't really need receivers. Maybe they pick a receiver. That would probably be something that would be ridiculous. And if you took Brock Bowers, that would technically be a receiver.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about their approach to these free agents? I like that they're saying, look, 1 year deal. Come in here.
Yes.
Show that you can understand what we want to do. We got we believe in you, but you got to show us. You got to prove it to us. You look at the linebacker, two linebackers they brought in. Yep. Now the offensive lineman. How do you feel about their approach?
Yeah, I like it. I think it's a prove it deal, right? You this is a great place for free agents to be, and you want to you know you want them to be hungry coming in. And the guy I was looking at this morning is Laken Tomlinson. That guy can ball out. He's got one of the best stances I've ever seen for an offensive guard. I mean, he just looks so balanced, and mm-hmm. you look at how strong he is and how nasty he is, and he's going to want to come here and prove it. Now, he had a long career with the Niners, and then he went to the Jets, and now he's here. But, yeah, like you mentioned, Baker and Dodson, the two inside backers, one-year deals. I mean, it's a prove-it type of thing, and I think that's going to be really valuable. I think you're going to see these guys play their best football.
I think because of those one-year deals, Wyman, one of the, I don't want to say theories, but one of the things that people were talking about more in free agency was, what if the Seahawks are in some kind of step back? And I think it's because they thought they're not adding these stars. You know, they're hanging on to Geno like a bridge guy. But you know John Schneider well. You also talk to him once a week for the John Schneider show. I have a hard time imagining John Schneider ever being okay with a year that would qualify as a step back.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. That's the case with everybody in the NFL. I mean, you're all competitors. And I told this story a million times that in 1992, when we went into 2-14, mm-hmm. I thought we were going to the playoffs that year.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Right.
It's exactly right. I mean, everybody's a professional. We got just as good a chance as anybody else.
Everyone now, believes in themselves.
Yeah, I didn't realize that we had the fifth worst offense in NFL history when I was watching. Not until we got into the season. When we got into the season, I'll never forget this. I was playing scout team just to help out. And so they ran a play. We're getting ready to play the Cowboys. And they ran a play, and I stepped up, and I was unblocked, free in the hole.
I was going to ask if there was a
And there's a running back, and I didn't tackle him, of course. You know, you just kind of tag him off. And I looked at the coach, and I go, who's blocking me? And he goes, ah, we'll run right through you.
Like, oh, no.
No, you won't. No, you won't. So, yeah, I mean, I think once you get into it, you kind of realize that, okay, everything's kind of screwed up. But I don't know. I just think John is such a good football guy. I think he has obviously a knack for picking, you know, not only – and we'll see if that's the case with coaches, mm-hmm. you know, with Mike McDonald and all the guys that they got. Because they kind of collaborated on that, right? Like a lot of those players were guys – or I'm sorry, coaches were guys that both of them knew. And so, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I would say it's reasonable to think that they might take a step back, but no, nobody down there believes that. And you know how it is, Bump. I mean, you get in there and you go, hey, we got a good show. You know, we do that every day before our show. Like, we got a good show.
We're going to knock it out of the park today.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think everybody thinks that. But it's going to be a real interesting year for John. And I don't want to say setback, you know, like a step back as far as the record goes. But it could be, it could be interesting as far as a bunch of new people. There's a lot of moving parts that are coming together. But you know this, Bump. I mean, you get into camp and you get in, you know, you go through double days and all that stuff. By the time the season starts, you feel like we've been here for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been playing together. And the thing I'm really banking on is that Mike McDonald is as smart as everybody says he is. And I think when you're really smart and you're a good teacher like him, you can explain things. And this is all players want. They want it to be simple and they want to be able to just let it loose and fly around. And I feel like he has that knack to get guys in the right spot and then explain how the defense works. Everybody was incredibly confused last year. And you guys heard the thing from Uchenna, which I thought was blown up a little bit just because Uchenna was like coming off of a bad year. He blew out his pec. We were not good on defense. Mm-hmm. There was some confusion, stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of how you feel after a year like that. So I didn't read anything into that. I like Uchenna because he's very honest and open and all that. But yeah, it was a tough year last year, and I just felt like the biggest problem was people weren't very confident in knowing what am I supposed to do on this play. There was lots of times where you'd see Diggs or somebody throwing their hands up in the air, kind of looking at the sidelines like, what the hell was that? You know, why don't we have this part taken care of? And so, yeah, I think that makes up for a lot. If you have a coach that's smart enough to explain and teach everybody the defense and the offense in a way that it just is second nature to you and you pick it up quickly, I think that's where the real value of Mike McDonald is.
We talked about kind of the tight end position evolving. I look at the safety kind of the same way. Like, now, safeties have always been asked to come down to the box and run support and all that stuff, but we're just seeing defenses kind of centered around the safety in some aspects, especially with Baltimore when you saw the three safeties they had over there. How do you feel about the safety position with this group? Even though they did bring in over a guy with Johnson, I think, from the Jacksonville Jaguars, another guy as well. How do you feel about this position? And do you think, even though they have all these bodies in that room, they address it in the draft, or they leave it alone?
Yeah, I think they signed a couple of free agents, right? And one of which who hasn't played a whole lot of football and really proven himself. But yeah, that's one of those areas. I got to believe that Julian Love, having him in there, look, what happened with him last year was when they started playing him more, he got better. Mm. You know, he was playing 70% of the snaps up until like week 10 or 11. So I really have a lot of faith in Julian Love. So yeah, but that is a position where other than him, you've got Jarek Reed and then a couple of guys they picked up in free agents. So there's going to be some question marks there. Same thing with middle linebacker. So down the middle of that defense should be really interesting, and I think hopefully they make up for it with the scheme and all the players understanding exactly what they're supposed to execute.
Tons of great insight, as expected, from Dave Wyman.
Yeah, I didn't tell you guys anything.
Dave mentioned,
I don't know who they're going to draft.
I loved the story about, you know, helping out with the defense and realizing the moment you realized the offense was horrible. I learned a lot. You guys can hear more from Dave coming up at 2 p.m. with Wyman and Bob. And also, Dave mentioned the John Schneider Show leading up to the draft. And he's right, that's going to be including the Thursday of draft day, so you want to make sure to listen. It's going to be at 4 p.m. If you ever miss an episode, you can go back and listen to the Wyman and Bob's podcast. You can get that wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks so much, Wyman.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thanks,
all right,
Wyman.
Let's get to Four Down Territory.
This is Four Down Territory, going inside the game with former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
Not talking about tight ends for first down, but we are talking about a pass catcher. What star receiver should play with a chip on his shoulder this year?
Justin Jefferson got to be walking around with a chip on his shoulder.
Because
he's got Sam Darnold with him now. And for his whole career, he's had Kirk Cousins. We knock Kirk Cousins all the time, but he is a solid quarterback. He will win you some ball games, and he will feed your number one receiver. Sam Darnold, he's never played a full season. He only has one season completing 60% of his passes. That was in 2019. He has one season of passing over 3,000 yards. That was in 2019. Only two seasons of double-digit touchdowns and double-digit interceptions in every season as a starter. So Justin Jefferson, I saw him say he's kind of jealous that Ja'Marr Chase still gets to play with Joe Burrow. And I feel his pain because he's looking at a situation here and goes, Sam Darnold, of course, has arm talent, but he's probably not going to be it. Are the Vikings going to move up? Justin Jefferson's gone for over 1,000 yards every year he's been in this league. And people are going to doubt the Minnesota Vikings. And you know what you do if you are the Minnesota Vikings? You force feed the heck out of Justin Jefferson. I don't care. All right, he has to be the one to carry this team, even though he relies on everybody else to get him the football. So it's an opportunity for Sam Darnold to resurrect his career and for Justin Jefferson to still put up the numbers that he put up with a quarterback that is less than Kirk Cousins. I love stories like these because I want to see how they respond. What I don't want to happen is Justin Jefferson to become the new diva receiver in the NFL and be complaining and hollering and screaming about the quarterback. You know what it is. Your success relies on the quarterback, so just make some plays you're probably not supposed to make like you've been doing your whole career, and you'll be fine. But Justin Jefferson should have a chip on his shoulder. Can't wait to see it.
Second down. What's the perspective about this incoming quarterback class? A very interesting one that you find especially interesting.
Man, I was watching ESPN. I forgot who said it. And I go, that is a great perspective. He said Caleb Williams and the rest of this QB class are going to be like the first Gen Z quarterbacks. And Gen Z quarterbacks, Gen Z in general, when us millennials are talking about them, we're tough on them, right? They're not tough enough.
I don't know if that's you guys. Those are my Gen Z kings and queens.
My bad. Well, just us them. They're not tough enough. Can they handle this? Can they handle that? It's a different world in the NFL. The NFL locker room is not a very fluffy, soft type of place. Yeah. That's just not what it is. Maybe in some organizations it is. And even if it is fluffy, it's still a tougher situation than a lot of people could imagine. So how are they going to be able to handle all the criticism? The thing that makes me think that these quarterbacks might be okay is that they've grown up in the social media era. They see so much being talked about them already. Yeah. All their flaws. Everyone talking about Caleb wearing his pink fingernails. Everyone talk about Jaden Daniels being a one-hit wonder. They hear and see all of this. So I think they will be equipped to handle the expectations in the media. The part that questions me is the locker room, because in the locker room, it is vicious. People will talk about you, and they'll talk about you, and it sounds like hate, but it's really love. It's like, can they handle that? I don't know these individuals that well, obviously. So that would be my biggest question. But as far as the media, I think they'll be fine in that perspective. Yeah. But can they handle grown men just getting at you? Because you're no longer Caleb Williams of USC, yeah, untouchable, only talk to certain coaches. Nah, you in this locker room, you're one of the dudes, and guys are going to challenge
you. And you're in that locker room with 25, 26, 27-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 32-year-olds. Like, it's no longer just everyone has the same experiences you have. That's a really interesting take. Third down. The Jets revealed their new uniforms, looking pretty good. When should the Hawks make a change?
This is what I think should happen. I think if a coach is with you for 10 or more years and he is gone, you need to switch your uniforms up. Make that his era. That was the Pete Carroll era of those uniforms. You can identify uniforms with a coach. So with that being said, I think they should make the move like this year or next year. Not this year, obviously, because he's got to go through all this stuff. But change the uniforms. Go back to the 90s or whatever the heck. I think that's what everybody wants anyway. They want those throwback uniforms. But I like the Seahawks uniforms. I'm not mad at them. Mm-hmm. But when I see those, I just think of Pete Carroll, Legion of Boom, Marshawn Lynch. Like, that was a special era. There wasn't no average era of football. So because it wasn't average, let Pete and Marshawn and Cliff Avril and all those guys have those uniforms. You switch it up and throw it back or change just something a little bit. Honor those dudes that way. I know they want us to forget about them. At least that's what Michael Bennett said. We will never forget. And every time we see those uniforms, at least me, I just associate it with Legion of Boom.
Yeah. Do you know a change that you would make? Like, I wonder if it's like, okay, is there less of the action green? I don't know.
I would just make it as simple as possible. I love simple uniforms. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Fourth down. If the Hawks do not draft a quarterback early, what are their options in 2025?
So we had this conversation last week.
Yeah.
Kind of like, all right, well, are they going to get a quarterback? And I go, look, you've already used a third-round pick on Sam Howell. So essentially, are you going to be willing to draft two quarterbacks in the same year? I don't think they're going to do that. But they're going to have some options, right? Russell Wilson's on a one-year deal. Justin Fields is going to try to figure it out over there as well. Next year, these are guys who are going to be available. Not to say that these are the guys they should go for, but you'll have options. All right, you got Trey Lance. This is 2025. Sam Darnold, Brissett, I'm not saying get him. Drew Lock, Marcus Mariota, Zach Williams, Mike White, Jake Browning, Case Keenum, Dave Miller, Mac Jones, Mason Rudolph, Carson Wentz. You got Stidham, you got Winston, you got, hey, Flacco. We got Flacco. We got Jimmy Garoppolo. We got Andy Dalton. We got Deshaun Watson, who possibly could be out there as well. I know y'all going to get me for even mentioning Deshaun Watson, so simmer down now. I'm not saying that they should say, don't worry, next year we have all these veterans to choose from. I'm just saying that there are going to be options out there. And as I read that list, right, I'm talking myself out of it. I go, well, maybe they do draft the guy
I was talking
early.
Myself out of it as right? you were reading the list. You were two names in, and I was like, names. I'm out.
Also, Dak Prescott could be available as well. Now, you
that
get
one's
him, you have a guy like Dak available.
But
or
a lot
also,
of competition also, for Dak.
So these are the guys who could be franchise tag. I just named you like the lower tier guys.
Yeah.
So now the franchise tag guys, you have Jared Goff who could be available. You have Tua who could be available. And you have Prescott that could be available. Those three are the ones who are like, okay, let's experiment with that. I think Jared Goff has shown that he can play ball in this league. I think Tua is good to go. And Prescott doesn't win the big one, but you know that he's going to win you some games. I say all this just to say that there are options for next year. I still think they might draft a quarterback late, not a guy that we expect to see. But if they were to draft another quarterback, I'm like, you essentially drafted two quarterbacks in 1 year. Wouldn't make sense to me, but I wouldn't put that by John Schneider in the game. But next year, there will be some options for him.
Can I tell you something that I found myself doing?
What's up?
I simultaneously defend Geno from people who say he's a god-awful quarterback, because I think that his stats are solid. I think he is a fine quarterback. He's clearly no one's Patrick Mahomes. He's also not part of that like second tier of guys, but he's fine. He is not as bad as this team. Like, he is not the reason this team struggled last year, nor the reason they didn't make the playoffs. I have also been operating under the assumption that he's not your quarterback next year, which is interesting because he's under contract, and this is yet another year where he can prove it. Why am I doing that?
Because he isn't the answer for the next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Age is going to determine that, and just what we think are his capabilities. Can he come out and put together a year and go to the Pro Bowl and have numbers that kind of quiet the haters out? Yeah, he could. But I think that we just haven't seen enough to say this is going to be the guy moving forward. We've seen enough to say I'm good with him for a few years, see if he can make the playoffs and make a run. But until you get that just for sure thing, which is hard to get, you're always going to have questions.
All right. Quick minute here before we hit break. We are going to continue with the Seahawks. But some news. Let's see. Alexander Castro says Cooper DeJean visiting the Seahawks. This would be a surprising pick were it the Seahawks' choice. What do you make of Seattle hosting a corner?
Coop. Man, I like this kid on film. Now, should they draft him? You already got Reek. You got Trey. You got Witherspoon. Safety spot. You got a few safeties as well. If Coop were to get drafted by the Seahawks, that lets us know right off top that one or two of these guys at the secondary ain't going to be here no more. I'm looking at the secondary, and they give me the most confidence out of any position group on the defense. But what is it about? Drafting the best player. So if you get to 16 and Coop is available, or Brock is available, or Troy is available, or maybe Latu, which Dave just pointed out. You got to look at it. If they stick true to that logic and he's available, it would not surprise me.
You're listening to Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. Get your questions in for What I Need to Know coming up at 45 after. You can send them now, though. Any question you have, 866-979-3776. Again, 866-979-3776. There's something that stood out to both of us from our interview with Dave Wyman at the top of the hour. He said, expect to be surprised when it comes to John Schneider's draft. Ooh, what a tease from Dave. We'll go ahead and talk about what we think that means next.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
What I Need to Know coming your way in 15 minutes. Get your questions in now to the Mac and Jacks text line, 866-979-3776. Any question you got. Our biggest question that we don't have the answer to yet is going to be who the heck the Seahawks take at pick number 16. We asked Dave Wyman whether or not they could draft best available over need once again at 16. Here's what he had to say. How would you feel about adding a position that wouldn't necessarily be one of need at 16?
Well, I think that's what we're going to get. I mean, I said this on Friday. I think the more we talk to Schneider, the more you realize that I would say prepare to be surprised.
Oh.
You know, I mean, he could take Penix. I mean, honestly, I feel like that could happen.
Throwing in the he could take Penix one totally threw me off. It's very, very intriguing. I'm all here for a very exciting pick at pick number 16. I do agree with Wyman that we're probably going to get a pick where you already have some depth.
If the Hawks were to go quarterback, why? Why bring Samuel Howell over here from the Commanders. Why give the Commanders a third-round pick? You essentially just got – now, Hal was drafted in the fifth round, but I would say after that performance last year, mm-hmm. it's probably worth – he's a third-rounder, obviously worth a third-rounder. So you essentially just drafted a quarterback. So if you draft Michael Penix, what does that mean, Seattle? What does that mean? That means that Sam Howell is going to be used as like a pawn in this whole thing. He's trade bait. You dangle it in front of some team that lost a quarterback in training camp, or you get into the season. Because you're not going to sneak Sam Howell into the practice squad. He's going to hit the waiver wires. Somebody's grabbing him up. So that makes no sense to me. It could happen. I mean, Dave is connected. Mm-hmm. Connect gang. Bing, bing, bang. And if they were to go there, I'd be like, this is the craziest game of chess I've ever seen before with the Seahawks. Because you made some good points about Schneider. He has only drafted two quarterbacks in 14 years, and he made it clear he wants to draft a quarterback eventually. This year, maybe not. Next year, who knows? He wants to draft a quarterback. So if he were to do that, I would say, John, now you drafted two quarterbacks in 1 year rather than two quarterbacks in 14 years. How you go from 2 to 14 to 2 in 1 year? That's the part that will baffle me. So what is Sam Howell's real meaning in this organization? That's the most surprise I'll get if they draft a quarterback at 16. What if something crazy happens and Drake May or J.J. McCarthy is available and he's sitting at 16? I know it's not going to happen, but hey. You know, crazy things happen. You never know. It's not going to happen, but let's say they are there, then okay, you draft a quarterback. But I've also said on air that Penix is the third best quarterback in this draft to me. So if he's at 16, I get it. Maybe Sam Howell is the move that is just in case they're not able to get Penix at 16. Make sure that we have a quarterback on roster. So, yeah, man, Dave messed me up with that one because I don't think they should do it. If it's Penix, I get it, but I don't think it's going to go down.
Yeah, if they draft Michael Penix, it will be a lot of resources invested. And you're right. Effectively, you are doubling up on the quarterbacks that you've selected over 14 years by essentially taking two in one class. What it would say to me is that you're right. So Sam would have been taken then as insurance in case they didn't get one of these quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. It also means that you have an eye on your future and you don't think that future includes Geno. Because if you are willing to use draft picks to bring in someone to back up Geno as an emergency in case you don't get another quarterback and take another quarterback, you know, it's...
And then what is Sam Howell? I don't think a team looks at Sam Howell and says, all right, he's worth a second round pick. So you say, okay, we get our quarterback at 16. Now let's trade Sam Howell and try to get back into the second round. There's just I get all the logic behind it, right? I get bringing Sam Howell in, making sure you're good in case you don't get your quarterback, even drafting a quarterback at 16, then dealing Sam Howell, or bringing all these guys into camp, seeing what happens, and maybe cutting a deal with Sam Howell or someone else later, or even just cutting them and saying, all right, it just didn't work out. I get all of that. I just think that there are just other things that need to be done on this football team.
Unfortunately, those are things that may not be done at 16, and I know that you know this. I'm glad that Wyman said that because I think by surprise, it means seeing someone drafted where you didn't need those. You need an inside linebacker. I don't think you're going to see one at 16. You need an interior offensive lineman. Maybe Jackson Powers Johnson is drafted, but that would be a reach because he's projected to go later. Maybe what you see is a corner when you weren't expecting a corner, a wide receiver in a great wide receiver class, a tackle in a great tackle class where you don't need either of those positions. But do you pass up on first round talent?
Wide receiver better be the last. I mean, come on now.
What would it tell you if they
spent the number 20 pick? It means that
they won't.
Number 16, they got doubts. And they just restructured his contract. He's good.
There's no way.
Don't think you go receiver at 16.
I don't either.
If you're going to make a big splash or surprise, it's going to be the quarterback spot or somewhere in the secondary because I think we are both pretty confident in what they have so far. They're going to add to those groups in the draft eventually. I mean, I don't care if you have – if you feel confident in every position on your football team, it's a draft. You got to add talent to your roster. I think they can make a move. But you know what? I'm here for chaos. Sometimes I love the chaos. And if chaos is Michael Penix, that's the only one I would accept. If it's Michael Penix, the third best quarterback in this draft. But we went through this other day. What you got? Bears need a quarterback. Commanders need a quarterback. New England needs a quarterback. The Vikings need a quarterback. The Raiders need a quarterback. The Broncos need a quarterback. That's six right there. There's no way. I don't think Michael Penix makes it to 16.
It's an interesting draft class because I don't think Wyman's wrong. I John Schneider made it very clear, I want to draft the best available player regardless of position. We just want to get ballers on this team. Best available player is not going to be where you need that help. I saw a mock from Pro Football Focus today. I mentioned it like 10 seconds ago that has Jackson Powers Johnson. Would that be a reach to you? Like, if you were John Schneider, would you draft an interior offensive lineman a little higher than projected?
Not a center.
Not a center?
You're good at center. You got Elwood Timmy, who you drafted. You got Nick Harris, who you brought in for a year. You're going to bring in a third center? So who's going to go? I mean, if anybody, then you get rid of Nick Harris because he's the veteran over there.
The agent that you just added.
Yeah, that you just added. I get all the moves that they make are some could be just in case. Just in case our quarterback that we like is available, all right, we'll go grab him. And if he's not available, we got Sam Howell. I get the logic behind, all right, maybe Powers is available and he's the best center. Let's go get him. But then I don't get it because you already got your guys. Moves will be made. Names will be moved around. Go get the best available player out there. But specifically, go get the best offensive lineman out there. Mm-hmm. Go get the best defensive lineman out there. Because in all the other positions, I'm pretty confident in this team. If Michael Penix is there, I'm not mad if they go get him, though.
Yeah, what I don't want to see is just because you need a linebacker, taking one before anyone else would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, that's a reach. Don't reach like that.
Right, and I
reach
know
at the quarterback spot. Everyone does that.
The top three quarterbacks are, outside of Caleb Williams, going to be reaches.
Yeah, Drake May, biggest reach of all time.
Huge question marks around him, around Jaden, around JJ, around Michael Penix, for that matter, though he won't be a top pick. There are positions that, if drafted, I will be confused about. I'll be disappointed. I'm taking running back off the table. There's just no one that's even been mocked to them, and it would be a dumb pick. Nor do I think that they take a wide receiver, even though it's a great class. Tight end, if Brock Bowers falls to you, yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Troy Fautano, even though you have two tackles, yeah, he's versatile. It makes sense. Do you take, like Wyman said, an outside linebacker, even though you have some?
No.
Yeah, well, no? Tell me, how many outside linebackers, or I'll say edge rushers, since they haven't obviously always been a 3-4, how many have gotten double-digit sacks?
We got two that were half a sack away.
Half a sack away, but didn't get double-digit sacks.
And you know what? And in half a sack, it's, you know, somebody doing the stats could have done our guy dirty. He could have really 10 and a half, but they gave it somebody else. But no, I'm with you. I get your logic. I just think that we're not looking at edge rushers and being like, oh, man, who's going to play in those positions? Yeah. What are we doing? There's other positions that we're looking like that.
Well, I am very excited to be surprised, and I hope we are, but in a really good way. Again, please. Wyman telling us expect to be surprised when it comes to John Schneider's draft pick, and it's not because he's got some insight and he's like, just you wait. It's because he's looking at the draft and saying, where there is strength in the draft, it doesn't match up with the Seahawks' needs, so they're probably going to take a guy who's a great player who they don't need, and that's where the surprise is going to come from. What I need to know is coming your way next. Get your questions in to the Mac and Jack's text line. Any question, text it now, 866-979-3776. Your questions, our answers next.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Get your questions in to the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776. Any questions, send it now, 866-979-3776. What I need to know. In honor of Jackie Robinson Day, is there any other professional player's number you feel should be retired throughout the league?
And Bill Russell's number's already retired, right? In the NBA, I think.
Yeah, that was a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Man, I can't think of anybody, honestly. I mean, you got to have, like, it's got to be, like, social change.
You were
the leader in that. Like, Jackie Robinson, come on now.
Like,
who compares to Jackie?
I don't know if you could retire someone just based on them being, like, the best ever. Like, yeah. If Otani's done things we've never seen before. If he retired tomorrow and then, you know, however many years from now, like, I'd be like, why are you retiring Otani's number around the league? That makes no sense. For Jackie, yeah, I get it. He did something pretty important.
Yeah.
Outside of being a great player.
The only other person in baseball that has, like, ever been mentioned as getting his retired number across baseball is Roberto Clemente. But, I mean, he didn't break the color barrier, but he was a tremendous humanitarian. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that was ultimately
and obviously
how he passed
tragedy,
away. Yeah,
right.
He was delivering aid to Nicaragua. But, yeah. There really isn't. I can't think of any off the top of my mind that are deserving of that honor.
What I need to know, feel free to change your mind at any point over the next several weeks. Who's winning the NBA Finals?
NBA Finals. I mean, goodness gracious, Boston. If they don't get it done this year, you don't stand a dang chance. Out West, you got the Nuggets. OKC got the number one seed.
And coach of the year.
SGA needs to be the league MVP. I know everyone's in love with the Joker. I get that. But SGA, come on now. Goodness gracious. But I'm going to go Boston, unfortunately.
Curtis, who you got?
I'm rooting for Boston's downfall. I really am.
Oh, that makes sense.
I hope that they flame out in, like, the conference finals. Don't even get to the NBA finals. I think Denver, I mean, until you can prove that Jokic can be stopped, he's unstoppable. So I'm going to go with the Nuggets repeating again.
Someone said retire Jordan 23.
No, I don't think.
But why?
No.
No. I don't think so.
I just don't know.
I mean, obviously his legacy is unmatched in the NBA.
Sure, but
what did he do beyond just being amazing at basketball?
He was a cultural icon, best player we've seen. Like, I get it. But the difference with Jackie Robinson was the historical context of breaking the color barrier. Someone said, I need to know, as well as the rest of the sporting world, whether Bump is going to get a hole-in-one before the Mariners win the World Series.
Most deaf. Every day I'm hustling. I play too much golf. Not to. You know what's messed up? First of all, let me give a shout-out. Last week, I said home course was overrated. And you know home course, I apologize. You're not overrated. That was just the first course that came to my mind. Second, big shout-out to White Horse. I played White Horse over there in Kingston this weekend. It was awesome. Thirdly, I played too much golf, man. I need to hit a hole in one. My buddy's been playing for 3 years, and he got one before I did. So, yeah, it's going to happen. I'm going to get mine.
So this person is horrified that we didn't say Michael Jordan's jersey should be. Individual teams can do it if they want to. The Heat retired it.
Yeah.
Out of respect. Mm-hmm. I just, again, I think that there is a difference between historical context of why jerseys retired versus Jordan clearly being the GOAT.
Yeah.
I'm not denying anything Jordan did.
Nah. But you don't retire numbers unless they've done.
That's what I'm saying.
Changed the world.
There has to be something bigger than just sports attached to it.
You know what is retired? Number 5 at Culver City High School.
Wow.
Holla at your boy. Wow. I changed the world, apparently.
Yeah. You changed Culver City.
Someone said retire MJ's 45. What I need to know, if you could personally pick any player to draft, who would it be and why?
Anybody?
Anybody. Let's pretend you have pick.
Then I'll go with Caleb Williams then.
Okay. Let me take the quarterbacks off the board. And let's say you're at 4.
Quarterbacks off the board.
So Marvin Harrison projected to go there, but do you go with Harrison or do you go with someone else?
That's the crazy part is that it doesn't really change for me. The best guard that you have or tackle projected to be guard, I think Alt out of Notre Dame is just going to be a tackle. You already got tackles. It doesn't really change much. I think it's Troy or Brock for me.
Yeah, I think obviously having a young quarterback would be amazing and fun. I would love if Caleb Williams was a Seahawk so you could see what happens here. But it's not where you're at. It's not where you're picking. And if it wasn't going to be a quarterback, I honestly, if I was at 4, I'd trade back.
It's about, what, 10, 11? 10, 11, 12?
Just rack up some picks.
Yeah, that's the move, Stacey.
Yeah.
Trade back.
Someone said Jordan revolutionized the sneaker industry.
First world stuff right there. The sneaker industry.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
You're not.
Is iconic. One of the most recognizable names and people in sports. But I feel like the level to which you retire someone's jersey league-wide is different than just popular, iconic, great player.
Yeah. No.
I'm not backing down from this.
Don't back down.
See what I need to know. I'm not a huge baseball fan, but it's interesting how overall pitching has gotten better and better over the years, meaning less overall offense. Is this making baseball less and less watchable for new potential fans? People want to see hitting, right? People do love dingers, 425.
I mean, you tell me. You new to the game, right? Is it turning you off from watching baseball? I think that the older I get, the more I enjoy defense in football and pitching in baseball. I just love when a side of the ball can be dominant when typically the other side has been the one to sell tickets and get all the love. I'm all right with it. I think, but for a new fan, yeah, it might turn them off.
Everyone loves dingers. Everyone loves home runs. I think it's the same as, like, NFL fans love a great defense, but sports fans probably want to see a game a little bit more like the Rams and Chiefs when people are dropping, offenses are dropping like 40 plus points and it's a shootout and you're seeing amazing catches.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the same thing with baseball. Like, baseball fans love filthy pitching. Mm-hmm. You'd love a great pitching duel. More casual fans are going to get bored pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you're right. Let's see what I need to know. Does New England retire Brady's jersey?
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah, why would you not?
Yeah.
I thought they already had.
They have to have. There's no way. Someone said, I love Bump ranting about golf.
Me too.
Let's see if I can do one more. Again, 866-979-3776. This is the most random final question to end with. What I need to know. Would you ever go on Judge Judy to settle a lawsuit?
Heck no.
It's out of left field.
Nah, I ain't doing that. Judge Judy, because she going to say something disrespectful, man.
Yeah, of course she will.
She be getting at you.
She's sassy.
And then they know. They wouldn't even pick mine. You know, it'd have to be some silly case. Only, like, the funny ones get on Judge Judy.
I don't know. There's some ones where you watch and you'll get pretty fired up. I don't know what made me do it, but I was watching long Judge Judy clips on YouTube not even that long ago. I don't know what it was. Someone was talking about her, and then I got pretty into it, and I was like, I'm not going to lie. If this was on TV right now, I'd watch several episodes.
You know what Judge Judy reminds me of?
Who?
Ditching class.
Why?
And going home. Because she's on. Like,
in the middle of the day.
Yeah. Like, I used to think that about...
my fourth period. I'm at the house watching Judge Judy.
I used to think that about Maury. I used to come home every day from school and watch Maury. And Jenny Jones and Jerry Springer, and I think it explains a lot about me as a person. All right, you guys, that'll do it for us today. For Michael Bumpus, Curtis Rogers, Matt Nelson, I'm Stacey Ross. Don't go anywhere. Wyman and Bob coming up next.